I want to look at the book of Amos. I think I'll need you to look there with me. Now, Amos, if you're still there in where you were in Lamentations, it's more to the right. If you grab a Bible at the end of the row, it's on page 928. Amos may be that part of your Bible where ever since the publisher printed the Bible, the pages are still stuck together. Do you get yourself through the minor prophets very often? They're not called minor because they're unimportant. They're actually called minor because they're little short pages of stuff. Amos is less minor than others. Amos is significant. And it speaks of justice. So if you look at chapter 5 of Amos, like I said, it's on page 928 in a Bible in the row, and you start at verse 6, look at the advice of God to people, seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph. Now, the house of Joseph is all the descendants of Abraham that survived life in Egypt. Are you people of God? Is this a message to people of God? Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire and devour it with none to quench it for Bethel. What does Bethel mean? Do you remember Bethel? Bethel is where Jacob laid on a rock. Remember that? He made a rock his pillow. And the stairway to heaven, right? The ladder with angels ascending and descending on it. And the scripture later on says, you know, Christ is that way, that truth, that life. And Bethel was the place that it happened. Beth-El is the house of God. I'll read it again. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Judah, and it devour with none to quench it for the house of God. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. Very strong words to the church. Very strong words to the people of God. Very strong words. You know, wormwood, if someone told you you had woodworm in your house, would you ignore it or would you call up the people and treat it before the rafters break and things fall down, right? And there it is. God reminds us in verse 8, he who made Pleiades and Orion, the constellations in the sky, and turns deep darkness into the morning and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth, the Lord is his name. Who makes destruction flash forth against the strong, so that destruction comes upon the fortress. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Right? So it's good news for a troubled people. God will deal with it. If you stand up and say something that they don't want to hear, God's going to deal with the people who don't want to hear what needs to be said. Therefore, because you trample on the poor, he says to the people wrecking the world, and you exact taxes of grain from him. You've built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You've planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions, and how great are your sins, you who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and who turn aside the needy in the gate. Verse 13 is peculiar, and I wonder how that pertains to the church. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time, for it is an evil time. A person who meddles in the affairs of two other people is like someone who grabs a dog by the ears. You ever see a little kid? They love to grab dogs by the ears, and don't you say, no, 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 no. You'll get nipped for that. Is it prudent to keep silent in such a time when people don't want to hear it? And if you speak up at the gate, what happens? They abhor him who speaks the truth. You have to choose your battles, don't you? Right? You're going to pick a fight every time at the water cooler at work. You'll be the person who picks fights, and you'll be the person who maybe isn't welcome in that place of employment. If I stood up and said Lordy, Lord, Lordy stuff every time I was in a community council meeting, it'd be okay, here comes the guy again with the thing, yeah. Right? Elijah came to Ahab, and Ahab went, oh, here he comes again, you troubler of Israel. Verse 14 says, seek good and not evil that you may live. and so the Lord God of hosts will be with you, as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, in all the squares there shall be wailing, in all the streets they shall say, alas, alas. And they shall call the farmers to mourning and to wailing, those who are skilled in lamentation. In all the vineyards there will be wailing, for I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. Now this in verse 18, very, very strong language. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Now, isn't that you? Isn't that me? Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. As if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. Or went into the house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? And gloom with no brightness in it? Now here's God. I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs and the melody of your harps. I will not listen. Guys, that's depressing. That's not the New Year's message. Verse 24 is the way out. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't be people who have a name and who have a passion and who have a religious ritual and not be my people. Don't say, oh, Lord, 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 and fail to bring justice and stand for it in the world. That's Amos' word to us at the new year. Going to church doesn't matter if we are not changed. Into people who strive to love and to serve one another. Being religious does not save us. Do you remember Ahaz, the king whom Isaiah prophesied? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, 2 Chronicles, and you heard it other times. In the time of his distress, he became yet more faithless to the Lord, this same King Ahaz. He sacrificed to the gods of Damascus that had defeated him. And he said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, I'll sacrifice to them that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. I don't want to be like Sweden and Norway. I don't want to be like Denmark. I don't want to follow the Americans and their good plans. I don't want to follow the leaders who lead away from God anywhere. And I pray for our leaders that they would come to their senses and lead us in the way of the Lord, which is the only way that can succeed. We are in a dangerous place in a nation that has departed from wisdom. And that's the word at New Year's Eve about reset, is that God will deal with people who turn away from him. His judgment is coming, and we, in the midst of it, will stand for the Lord with his wisdom and his sense. And other people need it, and they need to turn to it if there's any hope. And there is great hope. And this stuff works. And they need to know, and we need to say. And it's good news. But like a New Year's resolution, the raising the hand, the dipping in the water of baptism, it's not enough to declare and to identify. It is to live it and to be it and to bear witness to it. You must have the discipline of going to the gym that you just joined on January 1st, if you're to be healthy. You must have the commitment and the conviction of your declaration of sin in your life that you confess and repent of, and salvation that comes in Jesus' name. You must be those people, changed and disciplined in it. We must be that. John, the apostle, writes to the church in 1 John in chapter 4, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. That's all of them. That's every brother. That's every sister. That's people inside. And if you believe we're descended from Adam and Eve, it's people outside. We deal with people outside differently. They don't follow the rules. They don't care about the moral. They cannot be relied on to be dependable and lined up with God. But God loves them. And his steadfast love never ceases. And his mercies never come to an end for each person who is in the not yet category. Through Jeremiah, God said, I persistently sent to you all my servants, the prophets, saying, oh, do not do this abomination that I hate. But they didn't listen or incline their ear or turn from their evil, and they make no offerings to other gods. Therefore, my wrath and my anger were poured out and kindled. He says about people before us who are no more. They have not humbled themselves even to this day, nor have they feared, nor walked in my law and my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for harm to cut off. That's the promise of the people who turn away. This is a dangerous place in turning away. We shall no longer have prayer. We shall have a time for reflection. We shall no longer have marriage. We will have the state's definition of marriage that includes the things that God does not approve. That's where we live. That's what we see. Murder is wrong unless it happens inside the womb before the person is born, and then you may. That's where we live. And those are just three examples, and there are many. That's what's going on. The prognosis is not good, and the promise of God that he will deal with rebellious people is reliable. People who do not follow God, who cause pain and suffering in others, will be dealt with. That's the bad news. It's the bad news. I want to go home. I want good news. Come on now.